This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
I guess Diana Ross is still performing. I don't even know anymore. Big Ed says yes. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with Big Ed. We thank you so very much. We've been performing for a long time, Ed, you and me. We thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, March the 30th. Wow. In a few minutes, the president of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Kent Lastman, is going to join us. We are going to talk about his little piece on the Biden administration wealth tax. The wealth tax, it's tucked inside the proposed new budget bill. Is it unconstitutional? We're going to talk about that. So stay tuned. Also, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, I mean, he continues to make news. He's suing the Biden administration on the public transportation max mandate. He doesn't believe you would have to get on a bus or a train or a plane and have to wear a mask. So he is suing the administration on that. He's also shaking his fist at the Walt Disney Company. Have you noticed that? I wonder what Walt Disney himself would think about all of this stuff. Anyway, we're going to get some thoughts on all this with the proprietor of the barber pole a little bit later in the show, Andrew Ceresi. Please stay tuned for that as well. And Hunter Biden, has the media finally stopped suppressing the stories on Hunter Biden? Is he really about to be indicted? And if he is indicted, the son of the president, is the president going to get vacuumed into this? We're going to take a look a little bit later in the show. And we got a great ultimate top 10. Updated, the top 10 rudest states in America. I want to see if Ed knows what is the rudest state in America. We'll find out. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, hey, it's springtime. That means you got to look nice. Get your hair cut. All right, get your trim. Get your beard and your mustaches trimmed. Get your shoes polished. Whatever. But get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop. You want to get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. Hey, take a look at the price when you get in there, by the way. They're not only friendly, they give you a great haircut, and the price is great. If you're a senior, it's even greater. Now, they're in Dunedin. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. They're in the Overcash Plaza, Overcash Drive, just north, State Road 580 Main Street, 727-733-3773. Well, all these things going on around the Ukraine and the war and Biden standing in front of a microphone, and is he capable, and are we going to get into a nuclear war because he has loose lips that will sink ships? Are you thinking about all of that stuff every time you see Biden step in front of a microphone these days? The White House said yesterday that our dear president did not accidentally reveal classified information while attempting to clean up a gaffe he made while speaking to U.S. troops in Poland last week. Biden was speaking to the troops on Friday when he appeared to suggest that they would soon be in Ukraine Welcome to Ukraine, guys. You'll soon be there. That they would soon be in Ukraine itself, something U.S. officials have repeatedly ruled out. Here's what he said. You're going to see when you're there. Hear that? You're going to see when you're there. Some of you have been there. You're going to see women, young people standing in the middle, in front of a damn tank, saying, I'm not leaving. Now, he clearly is stating that the people he is addressing, some of them are going to see all of that. Well, unless they're going to watch it in a room on a television, I assume he meant that they would be in Ukraine seeing it. Because it ain't going to happen in Poland or in Belgium, because that's not where the war is. The tanks aren't there. A White House spokesman later clarified, the president has been clear we are not sending U.S. troops to Ukraine, and there is no change in that position. So, I mean, you start to feel sorry for the president after a while. He's clearly over his head. But you can't feel too sorry for him. He's running the damn country. And even if Uncle Joe is a nice guy, in your opinion, Uncle Joe shouldn't be driving the van with the family in it if he's not competent enough.
Do you think maybe after the outburst the other day to where he kind of ad-libbed at the end, that from now on at the end of the teleprompter it says, walk away, bozo. they just shut his mic off. Exactly. There you go. Shut his mic off.
They'll have a very miniature person that belongs in the Biden administration underneath holding the cord where it connects to the socket. And as soon as they see that he's read the last word on the teleprompter, you'll hear a pop, as in they've just disconnected his microphone.
Well, if he doesn't do that, then we can put one of those. You ever seen those dog collars you put on dogs when they go outside the fence? Just give him a little 9-volt zap, you know?
Yeah, but the only problem is if he wears one of those collars up there, they'll think he's into S&M.
Well, you can put it.
We got all of that going on.
You can put it around his ankle.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Well, we got a lot of politicians that have bulging ankles anyway.
Oh, is there a chain connected to it?
No, it's actually wireless.
Oh, that's right. We got the new technology.
Yeah.
Well, you know, another thing they had to clean up was the fact that he showed his notes and the camera honed in on. Did you see the picture? When he was...
Were they made out of crayon?
Why are we laughing at our president? We're supposed to show him some sort of respect.
There's much to laugh at.
Yeah. Well, the White House said Tuesday he did not accidentally reveal classified info, but he had a cheat card. That's what I wanted to talk about. He had a cheat card. Representative Jake Elsey questioned whether a cue card with talking points that Biden used involved collusion with the media, that they knew that he had the cue card.
Good thing they didn't slip the lunch menu in there somewhere.
Well, then he would have had to order a bologna sandwich or something like that on national television. It wouldn't look good. But did you see there was a picture of a card that he held in his hand, and he turned it towards the camera, apparently, and they clicked it. And it showed. It even had a heading, something like, response to question about Putin comment, you know?
Uh-huh. And what to say?
Outrage. I forget exactly what all the words were on there. But anyway, this Congressman Jake Elsey says, the question I have, were those questions that he had on the note card planted by somebody else and then referred to by the media? Now, Elsey's a Texas Republican. But, you know, this is the thing. They're baby-walking President Biden. We all know it.
Didn't we have a politician not too many years ago that got the answers to the questions for a debate or something like that? So
that's
nothing new?
No. Hillary Clinton was the one that you're talking about. She got the answers to the question. You remember they were doing some sort of a town hall? And she had been, she had been given the question that she was going to be posed by somebody in the audience, because they had it all planned.
Yeah.
And it had to do, I think, if I'm not mistaken, with a Georgia black congresswoman that was helping was involved in the feeding of the question. Anyway, water over the dam, under the bridge, wherever it goes. We're going to take our break. When we come back, really delighted to have Kent Lassman, the head of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about the Biden wealth tax.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works on a Wednesday, and we thank you so much for being with us. We are delighted to have the president of the Competitive Enterprise Institute join us, Kent Lassman. And we're going to talk with Kent about this wealth tax. It's kind of tucked inside the new 2023 spending bill. Kent, welcome to Freedom Works.
With your listeners.
Yeah, delighted to have you. You have done a piece, quite a good one too, an analysis of this 2023 fiscal year budget. And in particular, this thing that they're talking, it's almost like, because we've got the Ukraine war going on, Kent, this is kind of, you know, people aren't focusing on this, and I know the Democrats want to focus on this wealth tax, this kind of wealth tax they got tucked inside. Could you describe a little bit about the tax itself and why it really kind of runs against the Constitution?
Absolutely. It's and I'll give the punchline right up front. It is just a real mess, and in a moment here, you'll see why. The president has proposed what they are calling a billionaire's tax, and that sounds very scary. I'm scared about the lack of understanding of how numbers work, because the very first section says that it applies to households with 100 million or one-tenth the household net worth. So they don't, you know, here we have a budget document and they're not even using numbers correctly. But the basic idea is they want to take wealth, whether it's held in property or buildings or stock portfolios or other investments, private investments, not necessarily publicly traded companies, assess that wealth from the IRS and then tax it. This is clearly and plainly prohibited unless you go through a very onerous process of doing what's called apportionment. This is the only taxpayer protection that's in the Constitution. We have lots of civil protections, lots of good things in the Constitution, but there's just one thing baked right into our United States Constitution that protects taxpayers, and this proposal from the Biden administration flies in the face of it.
Yeah. In fact, it's in Article 1, is it not, of the Constitution, the apportionment, to be apportioned among the states. You know, I'm thinking about how horrible and impossible and unfair and how it would turn illegal and there'd be cheating, how you could assess somebody's wealth and then tax them on it. I mean,
well,
go ahead.
It's in order to do that, you need really good information, and typically that information comes from markets that have lots of what's called velocity. Sometimes liquidity helps, but you know, you can assess the value of a pack of gum because you can walk into stores all over town and see how much it costs, right? How much people are willing to pay for it. It's very difficult to apply that to a piece of land that maybe doesn't turn over but every 20 years, to a piece of artwork, to a stock portfolio that sees lots of changes throughout the year. And what really they're doing here is just playing games. And the word games are, the proposal would empower the IRS to do what's, the technical term is deeming, but basically it says, we're going to determine that something that previously was under the law and under IRS regulations, property, we're going to deem it or determine that it's now income, because that's convenient for us. And the reason it's convenient is we have an exception for that constitutional protection. And as long as something is income, it doesn't have to be fairly apportioned to the states.
Sure. You know, another thing about trying to assess something that's not liquid, its value keeps changing day to day, minute to minute sometimes. Think about somebody that's got property and the appreciated value of the property at any moment, right? What if they are also in conjunction with a whole group of people owning property? Then you've got to figure out a way, what portion of the value at that time of that property should be taxed on that individual. This is why it couldn't be done. I mean, if anybody thinks it through, it makes no sense. I don't know how many people they would need to administer this. Go ahead.
That's why, if you think it through, it makes no sense. I think you hit the nail on the head there. That's why this proposal is in legislative form. We've seen a variation of this from a senator from Oregon named Ron Wyden. He would like to see a wealth tax. But your listeners will remember, 5 and 6 and 7 years ago, this was the centerpiece of the campaign all across the country from Elizabeth Warren. And really, it's a politics of envy. You know, they're singling out high net worth or households or families that have a lot of property. But that protection, and it's important to go back to the Constitution on this, that protection is baked into the Constitution in order that we don't disfavor certain regions of the country, certain states, certain classes of people, certain categories of activity. That's precisely why we have it there. You'll remember it took quite a long time, nearly 50 years, to get an income tax that would work. They were first introduced during the Civil War, but our income tax dates to 1913.
Right.
And that's because they had to change the Constitution in order to tax income. We protect people from these sort of arbitrary categories. And then once you get into the administration of it, if you were to try to implement this thing, it's just crazy. It's crazy making that we would have to have IRS agents determining the value of everything we own every single year.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And another thing is, it's not going to cover for the spending. It's not going to cover for the spending. If you took every if we took every multimillionaire and literally took all of their money away, it still wouldn't cover for the trillions of dollars they want to spend. This is a don't look at the man behind the curtain moment. You know, while we shake our finger at wealthy people, it's another, like you say, wealth envy. Let's find somebody to blame. So what do? We look for the people that actually create all the jobs and make this country what it's become. You know, hard work, entrepreneurialism, and we go after the goose that lays the golden egg. Go ahead.
This is precisely, we have a lawsuit on this sort of question. There's a very narrow provision in the 2017 tax bill that allowed this sort of IRS deeming of property, transforming something that for 100 years the Supreme Court has said is property. It has no value. until it's sold, bought or sold. And therefore, if it's not bought or sold, you can't realize gains. You can't get the income. Well, the IRS decided to deem foreign investments income, and we've brought a lawsuit out in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals that we're waiting a ruling on now, about 2.5 years ago. And
wow.
this is what I want to illustrate for your listeners. It's not about billionaires. It's not about households with $100 million. Good Lord, I could not imagine. I drive a 17-year-old minivan. I could not imagine living in a household with $100 million.
No.
But I tell you, the people that we're representing, they're called the Moores. Moore v. IRS. The Moores invested some of their savings into a startup company that makes hand tools for farmers in India to help those farmers lift above subsistence farming. They cared about hunger, and so they invested in a company. And rather than giving to a charity or through their religious organization, they invested in a company that would help those farmers. That investment, they have never seen interest. They've never been paid a dividend. They've never, what we understand as realizing income. And yet the IRS comes in and says, well, we've decided that that company's worth more than when you put the money in.
That's amazing.
So we're going to tax it. They don't have any money in their pocket. In order to pay the tax bill, they had to take savings because they've never received a check in their in all the years they've held this investment.
This is so insidious.
Saying that this tax would crush that sort of investment.
Yeah, this is so insidious. Because this whole concept discourages entrepreneurialism, discourages people like the Moores that want to do some good. Maybe, you know, maybe they, in the long run, they'd like to make a buck. But, I mean, it discourages anybody from wanting to do startup operations, knowing that that this is what's going to occur. I mean, just being intimidated by all of the paperwork, you know, that would surround trying to get something like this into practice. Democrats, they know that, don't they? I mean, they understand that. The Elizabeth Warrens of the world, are they that, with all due respect, are they that ignorant?
I want to think they understand that, and it's all politics, you know, posturing. They're trying to appeal to a certain base, and they're trying to, you know, segment out one group of people that's easy to, you know, castigate, you know, very wealthy people. They must be different. And so that this is all politics, that the administration, the people at the White House understand that this would not survive any sort of challenge if it were passed into law. On the other hand, I think when people show you who they are, you got to take them seriously. And this idea is not new. It's been part of American political scene now for a very long time, but in a serious national conversation for almost a decade. And the provision that I mentioned that we are challenging in court is actually part of the Trump tax legislative bill from 2017.
Wow.
And it was just an opportunity for the team then, the White House team then, was looking for what they call a pay for. They were trying to come up with a little bit more money to offset what they really wanted to do. And so they gave the IRS this power that is unprecedented and we believe certainly unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
Transform through sleight of hand property into income.
You know, it's interesting. I'm focusing on this Article 1. It gives and you mentioned this in your piece. Article 1 gives Congress the power to, quote, lay and collect taxes. It's a limited power. Any direct tax must be apportioned among the several states according to population. This has nothing of that.
No, it does not, and that's where I think it's just not very serious. But it is, as you said, insidious. It's a very dangerous bit of fire to be playing with to try to divide people and elevate the interests of government over the interests of private action and private investment and people in their own households deciding what to do with their wealth, whether to keep accumulating it and grow it or invest it in their community or pass it on to their family. It's just a very dangerous proposal.
Yes, indeed. So, if you look into your crystal ball, Kent, and by the way, we're talking with Kent Lastman, president of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, about this budget for fiscal year 2023 and this wealth tax, which is tucked inside of if you look into your crystal ball, are people like Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Democrat, or Kyrsten Sinema, another Democrat, are they going to vote for this? Is it going to pass? What do you think?
I think not. We saw just yesterday, less than 24 hours ago, Joe Manchin, the West Virginia senator, who's been one of the pivotal swing votes on so much in the last year and a half, he said that he didn't like this proposal. He thought it was not a good idea to go down this road. I think that probably will be enough to set it aside. It will certainly be bandied about by the more progressive elements of the Democratic caucus, but it won't go anywhere. And the more sensible elements of the Democratic caucus, I think they'll just quietly let it die its own death because they don't have to come out and take a position now against their more radical parts of the base, because Joe Manchin has done that for them.
Yeah, he's providing cover for the rest of them.
They can hide behind his skirts a little bit.
There you go.
If you'll handle a mixed metaphor for me.
No, I like it. I also think of the metaphor of Joe Manchin or Kyrsten Sinema sticking their thumb on the dike and keeping the whole dike from completely exploding and the water pouring through. Kent Lastman, I want to thank you so very much for coming on. Real honor to talk with you. I look forward to it again soon.
You take care, and best to your audience.
Thank you, Kent. Thank you very much. Kent Lastman, Competitive Enterprise Institute. Okay, we are going to take our break. When we come back, Ron DeSantis, Florida governor, he's suing, speak about the Biden administration, he's suing them on this public transportation mask mandate. You know, when you get on the planes and all that kind of thing, and you got to wear a mask. We're going to talk with the proprietor of the barber pole about all of this, Andrew Ceresi.
He was always there to help her. She always belonged to someone else.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tantalk listeners, Senior Voice America is here. Learn what's affecting Bay Area seniors. From political to financial and health to wealth, it's right here every Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Your hosts, political commentator Tim Rice and financial expert Berkeley Badger, will bring current, thought-provoking subject material while taking your calls. Senior Voice America Radio, 42 years of service to mature adults and a proud member of the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I've been really trying, baby, trying to hold back this feeling for so long.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us on a Wednesday morning. I see where one of the Republican senators now says she's going to vote for Ketanji Jackson Brown for the Supreme Court. Susan Collins of Maine says she will vote yes on Ketanji Brown Jackson for the Supreme Court. So they can now claim, the Democrats, that they have bipartisan support on that. In the meantime, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida announced yesterday that Florida and 20 other states are going to sue the Biden administration over that federal mask mandate on public transportation. Here's what he said. If politicians and celebrities can go to the Super Bowl without a mask, every U.S. citizen should have the right to fly without a mask. Said it's well past time to get rid of this unnecessary mandate and get back to normal life. We got the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi, with us. Andrew, If you get on a plane, do you think you need to wear a mask these days?
First of all, I won't get on a plane if I have to. Number two.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, let's be real. This pandemic crap is over with. They're keeping it hanging by a thread, you know, just to keep the people thinking about it while they're messing up everything else.
Yeah, as you would call him, Dr. Fauci wants to fan the flames. He gets more publicity, right?
Of course. Oh, let's face it. He's the highest paid federal employee.
Yeah.
$483,000 a year.
My God, that's almost as much as you make.
Yeah, yeah. We'll put it in our piggy bank.
There you go.
But, yeah, Paul, that's all. You know what? Look at the money that's got to be wasted suing the morons.
Yeah.
You know, just to try and get this thing cleared up. Nobody's wearing masks anymore. You see a couple idiots going down the street in their cars with their masks and their gloves on yet, but they're far and few between.
Yep.
But they don't have the Biden sticker on the back of their car.
No, they don't. DeSantis added that more people would probably be willing to fly to Florida if they didn't have to put a mask on to get here.
You know, that's the one thing I'm going to say with him is this one. You know, we don't need any more people here.
<That's real>. Oh, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe that's a good thing.
That's what I mean. We don't need no more people. Have you driven around lately?
Oh, I know.
It seems like the whole country is moving here.
Yeah.
Being a free state.
Exactly. I mean, everybody wants to come to Florida, not just the weather. They know that they can come to Florida and that they can do so much more, and they're not going to be taxed as high. It's just the way things are here. Hey, another thing that has been going on, we've talked about this before, is Walt Disney Company. And DeSantis, they got this thing going on. It's not so good. But here's a Floridian that says Walt Disney himself would be rolling over in his grave over the Walt Disney World wokeness.
I believe that was me that said that.
I know you said it. And you're not the only one. This is a woman from Winter Gardens, Florida. She said, when our annual passes expire to Walt Disney World in February, we did not renew because of our displeasure with the way Disney has gone overall, not just on the particular issue of wokeness, but on all of the things that they are doing.
But, you know, Paul, I think they need to get rid of the moron CEO that they have there.
Yeah.
Because let's be real, Disney is supposed to be a family-oriented theme park.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Now tell me what family they're going to get there if they keep up what they're doing.
I am old enough to remember... And I just on the side, Walt Disney took my father, who was a TV radio reporter, around Disneyland. They had not built Disney World yet, but in Anaheim, California, he was the nicest guy, and he really did, Walt Disney, he really did care about children and about what they were going to be subjected to. He planned everything. He had his hand involved in every part of the creation of Disneyland. And it was such a success because they knew that this guy had the children's interests at heart when he built that place. And that's why it became so successful, because he really cared for the kids.
Well, here's a fact. Okay, you got the law that Ron DeSantis just signed yesterday, I believe it was, about children grades kindergarten through third grade. Shouldn't be taught nothing about sex. And he's 100% right. Mm-hmm. I believe a lot of the middle-of-the-road Democrats believe the same way that have
they
families.
Do. Of course
okay,
they
there's
do.
There's no question about that.
No.
Now, what doesn't the moron at Disney World understand about the word family and children?
Exactly.
Okay, they want to cater to 1% of the population in this country. Well, you know what? Let the 1% go there and see how long they can last.
I just wonder what Walt Disney would think, you know? That's the furthest thing from his mind when he had Walt Disney World built. That these little kids are thinking about sexual orientation? What?
But what are they trying to prove? Just like Charlie Crist yesterday, he posted on the Facebook, I cannot believe that Governor DeSantis signed this anti-gay bill. And
By the way, the word gay is not in any part
it's
of the bill.
It's not even in it. It's not even. You know what I responded back, Paul?
No, what?
I said, Charlie, did you realize you were gay by third grade? I didn't get an answer yet.
No. I mean, this is why, you know, growing up is tough enough. And in the best of things, you know, because it's not, growing is, we mature through some of the things that we go through because of some of the, you know, let's be honest, some of the things that confront us. Why do we have to pile on with this kind of thing? These kids, give them a chance to blossom when they're young without throwing this in front of them.
You know, Paul, I think it was Bill Clinton. There's one thing I probably agreed with him on when he says, don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
Wasn't him that said that? From
Don't ask, don't tell. I can't remember who said that.
Yeah, wasn't
that it was Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
And you know what? He was right. We don't care what you do in your bedroom.
Exactly.
We don't need to indoctrinate our children about what... There was one Florida kindergarten teacher was upset that he can't tell his kindergarten class about his gay sex life.
Isn't that ridiculous, isn't it? It's scary.
I mean, what's wrong with these people?
I know.
I mean, do they want to be accepted so bad because they don't think that they're doing right, so they're trying to convince people
that's right,
so they think they're right.
Yep. If you
make sense?
Yep. If you continue to push something like that until it's like, they seem to think the more it's talked about, the more okay it is or something. I don't know. A moral justification.
They got to understand a few simple words. We don't care.
Right. Correct.
It's that simple. Go do what you want to do.
Yeah.
As long as you're not harming nobody, we don't care.
Yeah, and again, you're in kindergarten. You don't know what the word means to begin with. You're in first grade. You're in second grade. You're still trying to find your way to the bathroom. You know, this is so stupid.
And Paul, it's like I said, and I'll say it again. They need to learn their ABCs, not their LGBTs.
Exactly.
Very simple.
Right.
Let's take these kids and bring them up right. That's why this country's falling apart. Look at these kids today. They don't know up from down, left to right, nothing. Mm-hmm. They don't know where they're going, what they're accomplishing, or what they're doing.
Yeah.
And why? Because of what they've been being taught in school for three generations now.
Yeah. Hey, a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk a little bit about, finally, the media is acknowledging that Hunter Biden and his laptop, that there's stuff in there, and that he might be indicted. They're finally talking about it a little bit, but they're still trying to cover for him.
Well, what are they going to do? They're going to cover for him. Even if he gets indicted, his father's going to say, I pardon him.
Well, his father's been claiming he knows nothing about it to begin with. I mean, they won't even allow, you know, they shut down any question in front of Biden about it. Oh, no, I don't know a thing about it.
From what I understand about Joe Biden, they say he's a devout Catholic. So they got a certain time set when he goes to confession. They give him about 5 hours to tell all his lies to be forgiven for. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, indeed, I do know. In fact, he has a traveling Monsignor with him because he needs to go to confession about every hour and a half, from what I understand.
He takes a shower in holy water once a month just to cleanse him.
We're getting a little. You have to be careful. Now you're a Catholic. I am too.
I try not to tell anybody about that these days, to be honest.
Okay.
I would say more I'm a Christian than a Catholic. How's that?
So we were talking a little earlier about how pathetic it is to watch him in front of a camera. And, of course, when he's asked questions, it's even more pathetic. And then they honed in on a picture of him holding a cheat sheet. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
I mean, they even had to make a headline on the top of it so he could understand, you know, if you were going to be questioned about your comment on getting rid of Putin. Here's the answer.
Well, you know, Paul, that piece of paper that you thought was his cheat sheet?
Yeah.
They had a picture of him earlier tracing a picture of his hand on that piece of paper. Okay? That's what it was. There wasn't even anything there for him to say. But anyway, we can sit there and laugh at it, but let's face the facts. This is a serious problem we got with this whole administration. Yeah. Nancy Pelosi's already talking. They're not going to accept the results of the midterm elections unless they win.
Yeah, now there's another one. Isn't it amazing? Could you have picked a better cast of clowns? Just think about it. All of these people standing in front of a microphone these days, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, these people... They don't seem with it. Do you know what I mean? They don't even seem with it.
Oh, they're not. I can guarantee you, Nancy Pelosi at 81 years old is probably taking 7 prescription pills a day.
Yeah.
And 3 of them are probably for mental awareness.
Is that why she has that perpetual smile on her face? Or can't she close her mouth?
Because she washes them down with vodka.
I was going to say, that's the vodka.
Oh, the vodka, yeah. I knew it had to do something with vodka or with alcohol. You know what's great about vodka? They used to think that it didn't have any smell, but it really does.
Alcohol.
That you could down some vodka and go out in front of people and they wouldn't smell it.
Paul, yeah, we have serious, very, yeah, very serious problems
we do.
In the country. And that's why I'm working so hard to get the right people elected here in the midterm elections in Florida alone.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the local elections are very, very important, and we've got to get the right people in there. Again, that's why I told you I'm pushing Kevin Haslett. I went to one of his functions last night, and I'll tell you what, this guy is going to be a steamroller.
Now, let's tell everybody that Kevin Haslett's running for the U.S. 13th Congressional District. Charlie Crist, who you mentioned earlier here, is vacating it because he wants to be governor again. So Kevin Haslett is in a primary run. He's got about three or four other people. He wants to run, of course, as the Republican candidate. Go ahead.
You know, Paul, what I'm really trying to work on, okay, the fact of the matter is, I really don't like Charlie Crist at all.
No kidding.
Now, what I would love to see, okay,
yeah,
the other candidates other than Kevin Haslett would not be able to do this. But Charlie Crist is going for Ron DeSantis' seat, and Kevin Haslett is going for Charlie Crist's seat. I would love to see these two men tag team against Charlie Crist.
Uh-huh.
It would be the most beautiful sight you have ever seen. Because they'd get to tear him apart going for the governor, and then they'd get to tear him apart trying to ruin District 13. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do know.
Oh, what a match that would be. I would pay to see that, and that's why I'm working so hard for Kevin Haslett.
Yeah. We've had Kevin on. Thanks to you, by the way. We've had Kevin Haslett on here. He was very glib. I very much enjoyed having him on to talk about it. He's a long-time Florida man, long-time Clearwater man, right?
Well, you know, Paul, a lot of the candidates, they don't talk about, like I told you before, what they're going to do. Okay, all I hear about is, I support the Second Amendment. Look at, I'm at a gun range. And look at, we can speak free because I believe in Amendment 1. Or I'm getting things packed up to send to the Ukraine, you know, and we're taking care of things. But not one of them says what they're going to do. So what I'm working on with Kevin is we're going to have a question of the week.
Oh.
We're gonna find the problems that are going on in District 13. The flooding they have in St. Petersburg with the sewage coming up, the crime that they have going on, the defunding of the police. And we're going to have a question of the week where Kevin is going to answer these questions, what he would do.
Okay. Okay.
I think that would That's be good.
Good. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we want to really know what they could talk all they want about how great they would be. Let's hear what they plan on doing.
They're going to do. That's right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that's what Kevin is good at. Not just talking about, well, I believe in the Second Amendment.
Right.
No, he talks about what he's going to do. He talks about where he's from. The guy's been in Clearwater, been here for 55 years. He's the one from the area. The other people. Yeah. Aren't even from the area. They moved here just to try and take District 13 to get into politics.
Go ahead, Ed.
You know, Andrew, I keep hearing that rising water in St. Pete's not sewage. I heard it's global warming in the rising seas because the ice is melting.
That's it.
Really?
Can you know people on the beach? Can you find somebody on the beach that's had to move, say, the swing set up a couple of feet because the oceans are getting closer?
I haven't seen that one yet.
I'm going to check on that.
Well, you know, the way they talk about that, you think it's going to start sweeping over the interstate. Well, you know what I mean?
And
the interstate or something.
There's a dollar amount. I don't know what it is, but there's a dollar amount. And if you can donate today, we can stop that.
Aha.
So
yep.
I just don't know what the dollar amount is.
Oh.
I think if you buy more electric vehicles, that the water level will go down. That's
there
probably what it is.
Yeah,
it's great. That and it's Trump's fault. So.
Oh, well, they wanted one person on, what was it, MSNBC, blamed Trump the day after the Oscars. They blamed Trump for Will Smith.
He blamed Trump for the slap.
Yeah, he blamed Trump for the slap.
They blamed Trump for the slap seen around the world.
I made that a joke the night before on social media that somehow this could be blamed on Trump. And evidently they read my post.
They read your part. Yeah, they read your tweets. It's crazy. It's always a pleasure to have you, Mr. Master Barber. Thank you so very much. I look forward to talking with you again on Friday, my friend.
All right, Paul, you have a good day.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Andrew Ceresi. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, as promised, Hunter Biden, are they finally in the media, finally starting to acknowledge the laptop and what he's been doing?
Like the legend of the Phoenix.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcast Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Esta noche bailamos. Te doy toda mi vida.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works. By the way, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. That's when you can hear us on the Tantalk Radio Network. 106.1 and 1340 on AM. But you can also go to our website. Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast. You can go listen to us anytime. Go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. All right. Well, Chuck Grassley, longtime Iowa Republican senator, and Ron Johnson, they took to the Senate floor on Monday to sound the alarm about what they say are the troubling financial entanglements between President Biden and son Hunter. Regarding the Chinese government, here is what Johnson said. Over the course of our investigation into how Hunter Biden used his father's position and name to enrich himself and his family, the dishonest press published countless stories reporting on the Democrats' false charge that we were soliciting and disseminating Russian disinformation. That was a word, by the way, that came up all the time in the press and on TV, among the liberal shows, news shows. Russian disinformation, that was what this Biden computer thing was really all about. So Johnson says, once we issued our September and November report, 2020 September-November report, which were based almost exclusively on U.S. sourced documents and interviews, the media largely ignored it. When they did write about it, they declared that our report found nothing. He said this was a classic media cover-up. And now they're presenting additional information. It shows that money from an energy company in China, which is, by the way, they say effectively an arm of the Chinese government, money went directly from them to Hunter Biden. According to a receipt provided by the senators, the state-controlled Chinese energy company paid Biden through the Wells Fargo Clearing Services $100,000 with, quote, further credit, unquote, going to Hunter Biden's firm, a firm called Owasco. Says Chinese energy company operated under the guise of a private company, but was for all intents and purposes an arm of the Chinese government. That's what Chuck Grassley, Senator Grassley, said. He goes on to say Hunter Biden and James Biden. Now, James Biden is Joe Biden's brother. And he said Hunter Biden and James Biden served as the perfect vehicle by which the communist Chinese government could gain inroads in the United States through the energy company and its affiliates. So they got, you know, they got documents on this money that's gone into Hunter Biden's account. And we know that Hunter and his uncle, the younger brother of Joe Biden, are involved in all of this. They got the proof. Go ahead.
Well, I have to say, just like the allegations against Trump, I keep hearing that.
Can you imagine?
I want to see it. Let's get it. Exactly. I mean, how long has it been now?
Years. Can you imagine?
Both sides.
Can you imagine if Donald Trump Jr. was found taking direct payment from an energy company in China or an energy company?
He doesn't even have to take
payment. Can you imagine how the media would have treated
that? If the left even saw him in the same bathroom together. Yeah. We're crying out loud.
So this is so obviously a double standard. Anyway, we got to get to our top 10, Ed. We got a good one, I think. This is the top 10 rudest states in America. I want to see if you know what's the number one rudest state. Okay? So this comes from Best Life magazine. The magazine looked at indicators from other surveys, such as those for rudest cities and drivers, unfriendliness, and impolite behavior with customer service employees, okay? So here we go, number 10. Idaho,
come on.
I know, I wouldn't think so either, but on the rudeness score, they score 57.
Okay.
Idaho ranks second worst in the nation for rude drivers.
Mm.
Insurify says they run through stop signs almost 30% more frequently than the national average.
Mm.
Oh, that's kind of scary. Number 9, California. They're at 59 on the rudeness scale. By the way, the rudest cities in California are Los Angeles, San Francisco, Sacramento, San Diego, and San Jose.
Mm.
Well, they're also the biggest.
Yeah.
What the hell? Number 8. Oh, here's the smallest state, Rhode Island. They get a rudeness score of 60, especially in Providence. Don't go to Providence. You ever been to Providence, Rhode Island?
No.
Okay. They're too rude for you to go. Don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7, Massachusetts. Now, I've been to Massachusetts, and there are some people there that I think are pretty rude. I have to admit this one. Massachusetts gets a 62 on the rudeness scale.
Mm.
You ever been to Massachusetts?
No.
No? No. You lived in New York.
I'm thinking about 90 seconds, though, so you...
Oh, okay.
We're running low.
Boston is rude. Number 6, Utah. Salt Lake City is the rudest city. Number 5... Ed, why do you make me go so fast? 5 is Alaska, okay?
Alaska, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, no, they're frigid, okay? Number 4, Iowa. Wow, I thought Iowa people were friendly.
Jeez.
They're not as rude outwardly, but they're very rude. Number 3, Washington and Seattle is particularly rude. They got something called the Seattle Freeze. You ever heard of that?
No.
Okay. By the way, is my clock right?
It's 59 right now.
Okay. Number 2. Virginia. Rudeness is 77, especially in Virginia Beach and Richmond. Okay, who do you think is number 1 rudest state?
Well, they've always got problems with taxes and everything like that. Let's go with New Jersey.
You're close. It's New York.
Yep, that was my second choice.
It's too late.
Actually, I was going to say New York.
No,
you
weren't.
Too obvious.
I would have thought New Jersey as well. They don't even make the top 10. Thank you so very much. We're not rude here, but we will be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works.
Like the legend of the phoenix, all ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning?
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Kerr.
Kathan. The White House says President Biden is speaking now with Ukraine's President Zelensky about continued U.S. support against the Russian invasion. CBS's Stephen Portnoy says the administration believes there may be mistrust in the Russian ranks.
The U.S. believes Vladimir Putin has felt misled by his own military. Declassified intelligence described to us by a U.S. official indicates a persistent tension between Putin and his defense ministry and a clear breakdown in the flow of information to the Russian president. The U.S. analysis concludes Putin's advisors are too afraid to tell him the truth about his military's performance in Ukraine, as well as the impact of sanctions on the Russian economy.
Well, the Pentagon says the scale back Moscow has talked about is more like a troop repositioning. CBS's Deborah Pata is in Ukraine.
Even if the Russian military makes good on its promise to pull back from Kyiv, around the capital where fierce battles have been raging, there's nothing much left to fight for. And while Ukraine claims to have taken back nearby towns like Irpin, those areas have been decimated. Many did not make it out alive.
The UN's Alex Mund in Poland says the war has caused more than 4 million refugees.